Well, good morning, everyone, and allow me to tell you right now how honored and privileged it is for me to be here with you this morning, not only to be able to worship with you, but to be the preacher of the gospel to you. It's a high honor, and to be among family and friends like you makes it very, very special. I wasn't able to go to church last Sunday because I got up ready to go, and the left side of my face was swollen terribly. And I thought, what is going on? To make a long story short, Monday, I had a root canal. And but I'm in good shape now. And I'm glad to be here with you. Let's just suppose you have a friend that you like very much. But one day you say to him, you know, I like you a lot. I just can't stand your wife. What do you suppose that would do to your relationship with that person? I ask you that question because for many years now, it's fairly common to hear people say something like this. You know, I love Jesus. I just don't like the church. What do you suppose that does to Jesus? What do you suppose that does to their relationship with Jesus? Because remember, friends, the church is his bride. We as the church, we are the wife of Christ, the scriptures teach us. Now, I freely admit that the church is not always all that attractive. There are times, even when I, as a minister of the church, have had what I guess I could best call a lover's quarrel with the church. You ever had one of those? We have them with our spouses, don't we? The people we love most in life. And yet there are times when we have a disagreement and we quarrel and we fuss, but we go on loving. And I have to admit, there have been times when I've quarreled and fussed with the church, but I must continue to go on loving her. The church has not always been what she's supposed to be and what Jesus died on the cross to make her to be. And so you and I will often say to one another, well, the church isn't perfect. That's true. I'm not sure, honestly, how many of us truly believe that. Now, the reason I say that is because of the reactions that you and I have when the imperfections of the church break through. We're shocked, we're angry, we get mad, we stay away. No, it's true. Church is not perfect. And it never will be perfect on the face of this earth. And I'll tell you why. Because the church is made up of people like me. I won't indict you, but it's made up of people like me. And allow me to tell you this morning, very honestly, as my own confession, I am a weak, broken, sinful child of God. But I take great comfort in knowing that the scriptures tell me that it is the weak, broken, sinful children of God who comprise the church. He still claims us as his bride. So yes, my dear friends, there is plenty of room for criticism if we really want to give it. And the church has certainly been on the receiving end of lots of criticism down through the years. Some of it justified, lots of it not. But this morning, I want to say a good word about the church. This morning, I want to stand before you and boldly give thanks for the church. I've come here this morning to tell you all what's right with the church. And there's plenty of what's right with the church, and so I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface, but I hope I will cause you to leave here today with a song in your heart and a leap in your step over the fact that you are a part of the church of the living God. So I want to ask four questions this morning. Two of them to the great people of the Bible, one of them to you, and then I will ask myself in your presence one of those questions. So that's where we're headed. The first question I'd like to ask out loud in front of you is, what does Jesus Christ think of the church? Do we have any indication? Yes, we know he started it. He claims us as his own. He promises to be in our midst. He promises to guide and direct and lead and empower us as we seek to love and serve him. But is there any statement in the Bible that tells us how he views us this morning? Well, I'm glad you ask, because there is. And you may have been surprised when Bonnie started reading our first scripture lesson about husbands loving your wives. Where in the world are we going with that one? Well, let me draw your attention to the screen, if I may, because I want to pull up that passage, because it states unequivocally in the most beautiful and moving words what Jesus Christ thinks of the church. So may I point it out to you, several things while they're there. Look at it. It says, husbands, love your wives. And there, here's the statement. We are to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. I want you to know that Jesus loves the church. It's spoken of in past tense. He loved it, and he gave himself up for it, because it is, within context, speaking of his life upon this earth. What was his attitude toward his church? Well, he loved it, and he went to the cross for it. So I'm very comforted every time I think and hear about criticisms of the church. I'm very comforted in knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of all the blemishes that the church of Jesus Christ may have, loves us so much that he was willing to die for her. And then notice that he's making the church holy, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Did you know that God is in the process of making you and me holy? That's exactly what he's doing. But please also notice, and you probably don't need to be told this, you know it already by experience, but I'll say it anyway. That takes a process. That takes time. We're not holy overnight. I wish that there was an instantaneous zap that God could put upon you and me, that we would be instantaneously holy and pure people. But that's not the way it works. Some days we're better than other days, aren't we? But that process is going on. And I know it's going on, whether you feel it today or not, because the scripture says he loves the church. He gave himself up for her because he's going to make her. To make is a process. He's going to make her holy. And then also please notice that he's made provisions for our continual cleansing, because we need to be continually cleansed, don't we? We as Presbyterians, we're not the only ones, but we as Presbyterians need to be clean a lot. And so every Sunday when we come early in our worship, what do? We admit freely in front of everybody we're sinners and we need to be cleansed and we need to be forgiven, and we ask God to come and wash our hearts clean again. But notice the agent for cleansing that Jesus has provided to the church. He cleanses her by the washing with water through the Word. The Word. What do you suppose the Word is? Why, it's this sacred book, isn't it? This Word is the detergent that cleanses you and me. I know you've experienced that cleansing from time to time, day in and day out, moment by moment, because as you've read the scriptures in church or on your own privately in your home, you run across the passage and go, oh, wait a minute. I'm not doing that. That's not how I think. That's not how I live. Oops, I need to ask Jesus to forgive me and to help me. That's that cleansing agent that the Word of God does. And that's why the Word is so prominent to Protestant worship, is because we know that as the Word of God gets sent out from the pulpit and the classrooms, it has a cleansing agent upon our hearts and soul. And then he goes on to say he's going to preserve the church. He's going to preserve the church. He's going to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This cleansing and this making holy that's going on all the time in your life and my life, in this congregation and every other Christian congregation, is going to produce a church that Jesus is going to present to his Father as radiant, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy. Now, when is that going to happen? Not until you walk through the pearly gates. But it's going to happen because he's in the process of making that happen. So I just wanted you to see this morning very quickly what Jesus thinks of the church. And as you can see, he loves the church and he's actively working to make his church better and better, holier and holier. Well, here's my second question. What did the early church think of the church? And the best spokesman of the early church that we have several, but the best spokesman of the early church that we have is the great Apostle Paul. And so I'd like to draw your attention to the second reading from Philippians, where Paul tells us what he thinks of the church. And I just want to draw your attention. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I want you to see this. So Christ loves the church and died for her and is going to cleanse and purify her. What does Paul say? Well, Paul says every time he thinks of the church, he is filled with thanksgiving. He is filled with thanksgiving every time he thinks of the church. Now, I want to put this in honest context for you. He's writing to the church at Philippi. And so the thankfulness that he has is for them. But I wonder, would he say the same things to other churches that he's written to? And you know what the good news is? Yes, indeed he does. In fact, let me just, if you turn, you don't have your Bibles with you, but if you turned a few pages in your right, in your Bible, you'd come to the book of Colossians. And this is what Paul writes to the church at Colossians. He says, we, and he's talking about Timothy and himself, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. What about the Corinthian church? Because I don't know how much you know about the Corinthian church, but the Corinthian church really didn't think much of Paul. They really gave Paul a very hard time because they said, Paul, we do not think you're a real, honest-to-goodness, true blue apostle of Jesus. And so Paul writes this letter, and he's trying to share with them his authority as one who saw Jesus on the Emmaus Road. And so you would think that a church that had given him so much static, in fact, in the book of Corinthians, it says this, my paraphrase, but it says this, it says, you know, Paul, you're such a little man, but you write such powerful words. That's kind of like saying you're a weenie. That's what they said to Paul. What's his attitude to them? What does he think about the church in Corinth? Well, here's the opening words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Now, let me just tell you that in nearly every letter that Paul writes, there's one or two exceptions, and that's only because of the subject matter. But in almost every letter that Paul has recorded in the New Testament that he wrote to a church, he gives God thanks repeatedly for them. And so every time he thinks of the church, he's filled with thanksgiving. And then look at the other point. He prays for them with joy. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of you. Wow. Look again, thirdly, he sees the church as a partnership. The word there is koinonia, and that word means fellowship. And we really misconstrue fellowship because we think, and I'm with you on this, so I'm not just pointing the finger at you. We think that fellowship happens when worship is over and we go have coffee. And I'm all for that. But no, friends. Yes, that's a part of it. But fellowship, someone described fellowship as two fellows in the same ship. They're in this thing together. They're partners. They're embarking on a cause, on a purpose, and they've clasped hands to make sure that purpose and that cause is accomplished. That's what Paul is saying here. He is saying, we're partners in this great gospel of sharing it with the world. And so in the church, there's no one who's of more importance than others. I'm not any more important than you are. I've just been assigned the call of God to proclaim the gospel to you, but together we're partners in sharing this wonderful good news that will transform our world if we will let it. And then notice, he believes that God is at work in the church. He says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. He believes God's at work in the church. Did you know that to no other body of people has God promised his presence? Now, don't get me wrong. God is at work in the world today. Thanks be to God. He is at work in our world. We don't always see it. We don't always read about it in the papers. But thanks be to God, he's at work in the world. But there is no other group of people that is recorded in Scripture that God has promised his presence to except the church of Jesus Christ. We're a unique, special people because God dwells among us in a unique and special way. And God is only, I don't want to say only, not about God. Let me back up. God is primarily at work in the world today through his people. And Paul says, I believe God is at work in you. And then, if we can move on to the next slide. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. Paul says the church is right here in his heart. You know, what we treasure, what we value, what we yearn and long for, what we're passionate about, we locate into our hearts, don't we? Yeah. And then finally, Paul's a little hesitant to come out and say love, like Paul said about Jesus. Christ loves the church. My father was that way. You know, my father never remember my father ever saying to me or to any of my brothers and sisters, I love you. My dad grew up very hard life, but he showed it to us, but he never said it. And Paul, I get the feeling as I read, Paul's kind of like that. Let me tell you why. He says, look at it. He says, I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Now look what he says here. Read it carefully. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You know what Paul is saying there? I want you to know I have affection in my heart for you. The same kind of affection Christ has. Yes, I love you. Well, that's what Jesus thinks of the church. That's what Paul thinks of the church. And I've got to be really quick and finish this sermon because my time's almost up. So let me ask you very quickly. What about you? What do you think of the church? Honestly, seriously. Let me send you home with these things to think about. Ready? Let me ask you, are you genuinely thankful for the church? Yes, for this church, but for the church of Jesus Christ that's throughout the world. Can you say, I'm really thankful for the church? Do you pray often and with joy for the church around the world? Yes, here, most definitely, but the church around the world. Do you see the church as partners who've joined you on the journey so that you are not alone? Do you see that God is at work in the church and in this church? In what ways would you say God's at work here among you? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you experience it? If not, will you ask God to awaken you and open your eyes so that he can see how God is at work here and in the church of Jesus Christ? And let me just ask you point blank, do you love the church enough to really live committed to her? Well, what about me? And I'm not going to be able to unpack these for you. But let me just tell you why I love the church, and I think you'll be able to identify with me, but I won't speak for you. This is me. Let me tell you, and I wish I could unpack this bit, but I think they're somewhat self-explanatory. Let me tell you, I love the church, and I'm thankful for her because the church introduced me to Jesus Christ. I met Jesus through the church. I love the church, and I'm thankful for the church because the church taught me the importance of prayer and taught me how to pray, because prayer is just communication with God, and we all know how important communication is to relationships. I'm in love with the church, and I'm thankful for it because the church taught me the importance of the scriptures and how I need to read and study and think and reflect and allow it to purify me. I love and am thankful for the church because the church taught me the importance of worship, of singing my praise, of praying my praise, of being gathered with the family. I love the church and I'm thankful for her because the church taught me that I need to live for somebody other than myself, that I need to be a servant to others in need along the way. I love the church, and I appreciate the church because it taught me to share this good news that has transformed our lives with people who don't know about it. And I am thankful and love the church because the church has taught me that we are a hospital for the sick and the broken. I leave you with this quote from the great Anglican pastor, Nicky Gumbel, who says this: churches are not museums that display perfect people. Churches are hospitals for the wounded, the hurt, the injured, the broken, where they can find healing. I believe that. I want to be that kind of church. And that's why I love her. Pray with me, please. Oh God, touch our hearts with a deep love and appreciation for your church. I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters, your bride. And I thank you, Lord, for what they're doing here in this community, for their witness, for their love for you. And I pray that you will make us stronger and better and impact our community through us. In Jesus' name, amen.